Good afternoon, Audio Boo, or Audio Boom, should I say, to be correct. It's, I don't know, probably about 5 o'clock on Thursday, the 22nd of January, and someone started a thread or a discussion topic about books that you can read over and over again, and I started to think about this, and there's quite a few. And the reason I read them over and over again is sometimes because they're like a comfort. There's something familiar that I can just go back into. And there's a few of these. Obviously, the obvious one probably, and because I think a lot of people share this from what I've heard on with other people's posts, is the Harry Potter series, of course. I've read those quite a few times. And I also like the films. Another one, or another series, are the Narnia Chronicles, Chronicles of Narnia. Again, I've got two versions of that. I've got the BBC Radio 4 dramatised version, and I've got the actual, I think it's from Audible, I can't remember. I don't know that it is. I don't know where I've got that from, but a read version of it. There's also The Cazalets, which is a series of, well, there were originally four books, but then just before the author, who's Elizabeth Jane Howard, died, she wrote a fifth one, which doesn't really tie up any loose ends. In fact, it leaves more undone ends than anything else. And it's a bit sad because she died not long after the publication of the last book, which is called All Change. So we know there won't be any more. She was about 91 when she died, I think. And this set of books chronicle the lives of a fairly middle-class family who live near Battle. They've got a big house near Battle in Sussex, and but most of they've also mostly got second houses in London. That's just like a holiday retreat where they spend summers. And the books span from, well, the first four go from 1937 to 1947, so it's how the war affects them and their lifestyle and everything. And there's quite a few characters. And the second book starts, I think it's in about 1956, and it goes on for a couple of years. The reason I like these is because they're full of domestic detail, and as I believe the author will have lived, well, she obviously lived through these times. And apparently some of the characters are based upon her own experiences, some of the girls that the book features. I just find it comforting. I like it when all the family are together, and I like hearing all the domestic details, what they have for supper and dinner and stuff like that. I don't know, I just really like it. It's full of details of like what designs the curtains are, and, you know, and the flowers in the garden. And I don't know, I just find that really kind of comforting. Plus, I don't know, I think it reminds me of times when we were younger and we all got together as a family, and even when my kids were younger, when we went on family holidays, and I always liked it when we were together all the time, even though the kids were a bit of a handful. But when we came home, I used to feel, oh, you know. And when we used to go on holiday, my ex-husband and I and the kids used to go on holiday with another family nearly every year for about 10 or 11 years. Maybe not quite that long. About 10 years, I think. Every year we used to meet them. We didn't see them any other time. And we used to love being together. We had so many fantastic holidays. And, you know, this reminds me of stuff like that, I suppose. So that's the Cazalet Chronicles. I tend to like quite long series because I really like to get into them. Another one which I have read several times and I could easily read again is the Earth's Children series by Jean M. Owl, or Aul, A-U-E-L. I'm not really sure how you pronounce it. She's an American writer. She's written six books in this series. Now, some people say that her husband, who I think is now dead, wrote the first books, like a ghostwriter, and she put her name to them. Now, I don't know how true this is. The same has been said for so many people. The same was said of Joy Adamson, that she didn't really write the Born the Free things, that her husband George wrote them. We'll never really know, will we? It's even been said of Shakespeare, of course. So the Earth Children books, the first four are in chronological order: The Clan of the Cave Bear, Valley of Horses, The Mammoth Hunters, Plains of Passage. Now, they're my four favourites. The two last ones do seem to be written in a different style, and they're not quite as good, but I still read them because they continue with the story, and they are good. And that's number five, The Shelters of Stone, and six, Land of the Painted Caves. They are very interesting books because they're about Neanderthals and Cro-Magnons, how they coexisted. And a lot of her, obviously a lot of the religious ceremonies and stuff she talks about is purely speculation, I think. But she does base it on the facts of artifacts that were found, like stuff they make, like jewellery, and they found these like shelters, like caves made from the bones of mammoths. So obviously they were either hunted or used when they were found dead. I think they found recently, I think there was some other discussion topic somewhere, that they found out they actually did hunt them. And so a lot of her stuff is based around these historical facts and artifacts, because she's visited a lot of the places in Europe, like France and that, where the painted caves are. She's done a lot of research into it. So, you know, some of her stuff obviously is made up. A lot of it must be, because no one was around to know what these people got up to. But she's just building the story around the actual physical evidence that's been found around about that time. It's the, like, Ice Age time. But they're a very good book series, I think. The story is about a young girl whose family are killed in a landslide, a kind of earthquake, and she's on her own, and she just keeps walking because she doesn't know what else to do, and then she gets injured by, she hides in a little cave, and she gets injured by a cave lion who scratches her leg, and she hides in there for several days because she's frightened to come out, because this thing put its paw in, the hole was only very small, it couldn't fit in, but it put its paw in and raked her leg. But when she gets out and starts walking again, the leg gets infected, and in the end she collapses, and she's actually picked up by this, well, the clan of the cave bear, the Neanderthals, and it's how they take care of her, and how eventually she doesn't fit in with them, even though they bring her up. And her mother, like her, the woman, the lady who's brought her up. Excuse me. Okay, I didn't get to that in time, and it was my mum, but she's already on another call. Yeah, so the lady who brings her up is a medicine woman, and she tells her eventually, you can't stay here. There's a lot more involved with it, but she tells her to go and find, they call them the other. Okay, several phone calls later, I can't remember what I was talking about. I think it was about the Earth Children series, about the girl who got taken care of, and her stepmother tells her to, well, not stepmother, but her kind of foster mother tells her to go and find the others. And the other books are, and then lots happen, which I'm not going to say in case people haven't read it and want to. And the rest of it is, the next part is her journey, and finding the others and her becoming accepted, and there's a lot more to it. It's quite a good series. I really like it. Another one, which is just an individual book, is Half of a Yellow Sun by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and that's about the civil war in Nigeria in the 1960s, and it's pretty heavy going in parts, because it's not a nice topic. It's when the country Biafra existed for a couple of years. And, you know, when I was a kid, people used to say, oh, he looks like a Biafran. And I used to think, well, what's a Biafran? I never knew. And it was, and I didn't really know. Actually, really, till I read this book, what they were talking about. Of course, then it got to when there was the famines in Ethiopia, like in the 80s and stuff. Oh, he looks like an Ethiopian if someone's really thin. So that got changed from Biafrans. But it was a really awful thing. And some of the book's a bit harrowing in parts. And it doesn't have a happy ending. It does and it doesn't. It kind of leaves it open. But there's a twist at the end, which I really like. Just a small twist at the end. And overall, I think it's a really good book. I love it. It contains a lot of cultural stuff about food, costumes, traditions, etc., which all her novels do. Well, she's not written that many, but another one of hers, which I really like and do dip into from time to time, is her book of short stories called The Thing Around Your Neck. And there's a variety of short stories in there. They're not really, really short, but obviously they're classed as short stories. And they, again, have a lot of cultural inferences, and they're written in different periods. Some are about the Civil War, some are up-to-date ones. So that's another one I would read. I'm just trying to think. I'm sure there were others that when I was thinking of doing this post that I would read again. Wuthering Heights by Charlotte. Emily Bronte, I think, is one of the most atmospheric books I've ever read. It's quite, again, it's a bit depressing in parts, and it's a bit heavy going. It's basically, I'm sure you all know the story of, it's a kind of love story. And it's a story within a story. But I think her writing is really brilliant. It really captures the atmosphere of the Yorkshire moors, the wildness. Somehow you can really imagine it. I think it's a really atmospheric book. I like all the Brontes' work. Jane Eyre and Anne Bronte wrote The Tenant of Wildfell Hall. I think that was actually the first Bronte book I ever read, The Tenant of Wildfell Hall. That's a lesser known one. By Anne, and Charlotte wrote quite a few, like Jane Eyre, Villette. What else did she write? Oh, showing my ignorance now. I've read them all anyway. Villette's quite sad. Jane Eyre has a happy ending. But these are the sort of books I could read again. But above all, Wuthering Heights is the one that really, really gets me, that I could read endlessly. And then you've got Thomas Hardy. That's another author who I could read again and again. And his books, again, they can be quite depressing. They're also very atmospheric. They're set mostly in the county of Wessex, which doesn't exist, but it's really based around the Dorset area in southwest England. there's books such as The Woodlanders, Far From the Madding Crowd, Tess of the D'Urbervilles, which is probably the most well-known one, A Pair of Blue Eyes, The Beloved. Some of his are not so deep, that one, for instance. excuse me. Two on a Tower, that's another one. Of course, there was Jude the Obscure and The Mayor of Casterbridge. He's written a lot of books, and he also wrote some short stories and poetry, which I'm not so familiar with. But his famous novels, I think, The Return of the Native, that's probably my favourite one. I think that and the Woodlanders I really like. But again, I like to hear about all the traditions, the country people, you know, the workmen. There's a lot of it's written in dialect. When you read it, it's quite difficult to read, but if you hear it, then it's easier to understand. but these are very atmospheric books, which, again, I suppose can be a bit depressing, because some of the topics covered are a bit deep. But they're books I would read again and have done again and again. I'm just trying to think if there's any others. I do like some modern day stuff, but I'm not one for all this, what they call chick lit. I don't really like all that stuff. I find it, I mean, I'm not being a snob, but I find it a bit kind of empty headed. I'm not saying I'd never read any of it, because I probably have done. I'm just trying to think. I don't know if I'd read this again, but there was a book I've got on my Audible account called The Island by Victoria Hislop. And that's interesting because it's about a place called Spinalonga, which was a leper colony. I can't remember when it was now, because it's a couple of years since I read the book. It might have been, I don't know, I can't remember when it was, what period of time. But it's based on, it's fiction, but the place Spinalonga actually did or does exist. And it was an island where people were sent if they started to develop leprosy before a cure was discovered, or treatment. So they were sent there and they had to live on this island. And it's actually, this book's quite sad. And there's a little bit at the end, it tells you all about leprosy, about how it's curable. But if it's not treated straight away, then obviously the damage it does, the disfigurement, can't be reversed. And how most of the cases in the world now occur in India, and there's still a stigma attached to it, which is actually quite sad, because, you know, it's not, you know, it's one of those things that's, you know, since the time of the Bible has carried a stigma. Obviously, the lepers had to live outside the city, and that's a bit like Spinalonga. They were banished to this island for the rest of their lives. People went there and died because they weren't allowed back into civilization. And the people, when the cure came on and they realised there was treatment for it, they did let people come back. But obviously it was too late for many. So that was quite an interesting book, because it was based around a true place. Yeah, I haven't tried the Outlander series. I think I probably would like that. But sometimes I don't know what to read, so it's easy to just go back to my old favourites. And I kind of find some reassurance in that. I don't know, that may sound a bit sad, but anyway, I think that's about it for now, and I'll speak to you all soon. Excuse the interruptions, by the way.